I think by now I have shared with the congregation, when I worked for Kermit, one day I had the Kermit that was at least as tall as I am, and I would have him shipped to me, and I could take him around the country and have him be part of groups. So I didn't have just that Kermit, I had the great big one. And one day I shipped him off to someone else who needed him, one of my colleagues, and they called me up and, "Where's Kermit? We're supposed to have him today. We got a big meeting coming up, a lot of people coming, a lot of children." Well, I sent him several days ago, and Kermit never arrived. It was determined that someone stole Kermit out there in the shipping world. And so there are always challenges in our lives. It's due to these challenges that we bring a sermon today, Watching Jesus Walk By. In our daily life, there are so many happenings that impact our living as though someone has just walked by, redirecting us from our daily routine, modifying our feelings, our emotions. Sometimes it might even be a Kermit the Frog who sings, "It's not easy being green," and reminds us it's not easy being certain things even in our own lives. Recently, frozen pipes in West Virginia and all around, like here in Columbus, as we heard reported this morning at Advent United Church of Christ, and then polluted water in West Virginia. Many things distract us from our daily routines. Sometimes it is the television or the radio or the internet news that distracts us. Friday, the contrast in Ohio news jumped out at me. First was the Columbus Dispatch headline. Maybe you saw it on Friday. "Inmate's death called horrific under new two-drug execution." Next came the news itself that I first heard on WOSU radio, public radio. And then I went ahead and brought out the Dispatch article about Lucasville, Ohio. It wasn't the terrifying, brutal death he inflicted on his 22-year-old victim in 1989, but Dennis McGuire did not go quietly yesterday. McGuire struggled, made guttural noises, gasped for air, and choked for about 10 minutes with this new two-drug execution here in southern Ohio. There was no clear indication that the drug combination, never before used in the U.S. execution, triggered McGuire's death struggles. But Alan Burnett, one of McGuire's federal public offenders, called the execution a failed, agonizing experiment by the state of Ohio. As normal, after the news story, the news moved on to the next item. The first of many Martin Luther King Jr. events of the weekend was coming, and it was at the Episcopal Church next to the Capitol in downtown Columbus. I've conducted services there. It did as many MLK events will do. It lifted up the positive. Yes, some disturbing memories regarding the gifts brought forth by the prophet of our time, but mostly it's a wonderful memorial event. To me, all I could focus upon after hearing the news, the first reopened the many conflicting feelings we all have about executing convicted murderers in this state. The second was a positive change in our nation regarding freedom for all. As a person who had long held strong feelings against capital punishment, what popped to my mind was the news did not even inquire about Dr. King's position on such statehood actions. Regarding a public debate in 1959 about executing a white man for raping and murdering a black girl in Florida. King writes, I made the statement about capital punishment for two reasons. First, by not calling for capital punishment, I felt that it might be possible to reach the hearts and souls of some of the white people who would see that our aim was not to retaliate and pay back for all of the injustices that have been heaped upon us. The second reason that I made this statement was that I sincerely believe that capital punishment is wrong. Let me assure you that I say this in all humility because I am still humbly groping for truth. It is certainly possible that I am wrong in my position. But I've always felt that the purpose of punishment is to improve character and the life of the person punished, rather than to pay him back for something that he has done to society. For now, I am setting this discussion aside as I note Jesus walking by and the many things that impact our lives. Controversial things, joyful or sorrowful things, Jesus walks by. It physically happened to John the Baptizer, as described in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. The next day, it says, he saw Jesus coming toward him. The next day after John again was standing with two of his disciples, and he watched Jesus walk by. Thinking about it, John was a busy person. He was baptizing many thousands of people who were coming out to him first in his predominant baptizing location in the wilderness just west of Jerusalem outside of Bethany in a place named Subah, where a large cave was discovered by an archaeologist in 1999. The cave actually has on the wall drawings of John the Baptizer, which many have cited as the oldest art pieces of John. Additionally, thousands of fragments of small handheld water vessels that accumulated on the floors near the waters of the cave were discovered. They believe that they were used by baptism in the cave. It also has a place in the back of the cave where the water was deep enough for immersion. In his busy life, John stops to note that the one he called earlier in the gospel, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, is walking by. While the gospel accounts of John and Jesus are supported within our teachings, there are many indications that if the two men did not have competitive difficulties with each other, many of their disciples very well could have. The question that is raised before us is, what is our recognition of Jesus walking by in our lives on this day? Then what is our response? What are we watching for? As the spirit of the dove was upon Jesus and is now upon each of us, how do we allow the spirit of Jesus into our lives to impact our actions, our feelings, our conclusions, our personal, family, and community, and social concerns? Many Christians are watching for the coming of Jesus during the rapture. Many texts are quoted and interpreted as Jesus teaching about the rapture and the apocryphal world, end of the world. For example, Matthew 25:13 is such a scripture. Watch therefore, for we know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Some Christian warriors spend time watching for Jesus that is watching and watching for you. There's an old joke that Jesus is watching for you, so we watch for Jesus. Here's the joke. I haven't used it in many years. Jesus is watching for you. A burglar broke into a house one night and he shined his flashlight all around looking for valuables. And when he picked up a CD player to place it in his pack, a strange disembodied voice echoed from the dark saying, "Jesus is watching for you." He nearly jumped out of his skin, clicked his flashlight out, and froze. When he heard nothing more after a bit, he shook his head, promised himself a vacation after the next big score. Then he clicked the light on again and, searching for more valuables to steal, just as he pulled the stereo out, he could disconnect the wires. Clear as a bell, he heard, "Jesus is watching for you." Freaked out, his light around frantically looking for the source of the voice. Finally, what did he see? He saw a parrot. "Did you say that?" he asked the parrot. The parrot hissed, and he hissed back at the parrot. "Yep," the parrot said, then squawked. "I'm just trying to warn you." The burglar relaxed. "Warn me, huh? Who in the world are you?" And the parrot said, "I'm Moses." "Moses," the burglar replied. "What kind of people would name a bird Moses?" The parrot responded, "The people that would name a Rottweiler Jesus." Glad we could take a little break on this sermon. Watching for the Messiah had become a significant part of faith for so many who had fallen into peasantry under the domination of the Roman Empire. Prior to that, Daniel the prophet had predicted the Messiah would be born during the year that John the Baptist and Jesus was born. It would continue after John and Jesus' deaths. The Gospel of Mark offers one illustration in Mark 13:32, called the necessity for watchfulness. "But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his own work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch." Is the gospel message primarily about watching for the return of Jesus, or to watch for the images of Jesus entering before us? John the Baptist had seen the Lamb of God. Others saw the rabbi or the teacher. Others watched for Emmanuel, a prophet, or a healer, or a savior. All the dimensions of Jesus are necessary within our lives this day. A verse in Psalm 40 that we proclaimed earlier says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." We are to watch with patience amidst the business of our lives. There's so many needs beyond our comprehension. So many issues and debates. So many people, different opinions and beliefs and interpretations regarding the faith as it blends with the world. So many personal and family problems, as well as joys and hopes. I turn to the words of Paul in verse 17, the last verse that was not on the screen that Steve proclaimed. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom," says Paul, "so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power." Paul lets us know, regardless of the eloquent letters that he had written, our faith is not about baptizing and bringing the message of salvation to others. That's a part of it. Even Paul, who gave his life for that commitment, faith is to assure that the cross of Christ will remain powerful. Powerful in this world, including the prophetic voice of justice. As there is the time for MLK memories, let's recall how he would have resonated with Paul's hope in this regard. King gave in the end of his life battling for the rights and messages for garbage collectors in the city of Memphis. So once again, I return to that challenging issues centering on capital punishment. We could turn to many issues, but that's the one that came in the news this week. During my first church out of seminary in Chicago, someone was executed in Illinois, and the subject came up, and Rebecca and I were very close to the young people in the church as we were young people, and some started asking me about execution and capital punishment, and most of them were all for it. And when I said, well, I could be for it, but there's a problem. His name is Jesus. And then there's this commandment called the Ten Commandments that says, I shall not kill. So we debated back and forth on that issue. Today, Ohio's neighboring state, West Virginia, does not have a law giving the courts the right to order an execution or a murderer. I heard a retired United Methodist bishop proclaim, I've returned back to West Virginia in my retirement because the state of West Virginia does not have a policy to execute the murderers. It's been a battle in the state of West Virginia continually. I know well that legislator who's the longest legislator in the state. He worked so hard every year to find a way to bring the bill back forward. And one year there were several terrible murders in the state. And he thought that was the year to turn things around. And he had called for a public hearing. And he brought those families forth. And we had a hearing. People were lined up long ways out into the hallways. The news was all there. And we heard their stories. And we all cried. And I was the concluding speaker. And I said, I can't cry enough for you families. I know how it is. I had a cousin in Columbus that was murdered. I know what it did to that family and how it was part of destroying them. And I know how challenging it was. But then I also learned the way of hope is the teaching of Jesus that forgiveness is far more important. If we're going to move on in our lives, that was shared. Of course, the bill was defeated and West Virginia kept its law. In conclusion, as life goes on, take a moment, take a breath, enter into your version of a closet to get away and watch for Jesus. Spirit, into your life regarding certain situations. I believe it was Dr. King who did such a thing. He moved from the storm to storm. He knew it wasn't easy being green. And yet he went forward seeking true freedom and justice for all. And I should say also, the United Church of Christ long ago, since we brought up that subject of capital punishment, as a strong statement against execution, it comes from the United Church of Christ. Amen.